The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. The second half is live, and we're delighted that you could make time for us. Already we talked about Coach Prime with Ross Dellinger. We did a deeper dive into Dan Mullen with Alan Taylor from The Athletic. Bill Connolly will drop by here in a few minutes and give us his latest. He is the numbers cruncher that covers college football for ESPN, and a very special guest later in the program, an Olympian. Well, Olympian doesn't quite do it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's check in next with Naheem in San Francisco. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Likewise. I like to say that I'm a longtime listener. I've only called in a couple of times, but I really have appreciated the show.
Thank you, Naheem.
Being an East Coaster originally, but it's just great radio. It's great escapism, and if you're a college football fan like I am, it's nirvana in many ways. I have noticed, you know, and maybe just the last year was such a dark period for our country, and in many ways, I won't get into that, but also just on the show, there's just so much ugliness happening. And I've noticed, I usually would listen to your show on a podcast, and all of that has disappeared since the election, which is kind of interesting, and I'm actually really thankful for it. Whose idea that was genius, because it's such so cringeworthy so many times. And the reason I really wanted to call was just to speak about, I guess it's related but not related, but the idea, you know, I've heard you speak, with Urban Meyer getting the position with the Jaguars, and then with other college openings through the past summer, you know, I've heard you laud Hugh Freeze and then deride Urban Meyer, and rightfully so. I agree with you. So I guess maybe I just wanted to hear from you, what's the difference? I think they're all loathsome. And then, you know, I just think they're all loathsome, and they're in a position where they're teaching college students. And everyone deserves a second chance, but I just don't see how we can reconcile the difference between the two.
Well, Naheem, that is an interesting conversation if you chisel it down to between Hugh Freeze and Urban Meyer. I mean, I am going to side with Urban Meyer as one of the greatest coaches of his generation. Hugh Freeze is a good coach. He's not anywhere near Urban Meyer's league. Now, what are we really talking about here? Are we talking about someone that we would hire or someone that we feel comfortable with our children? I think they're both eminently qualified. Hugh Freeze fell for two. Here's the misunderstanding. Hugh Freeze was not fired because of the NCAA violations, although that now is haunting him from getting a better job. He was fired because of personal indiscretions that the university became aware of.
His cellular phone habits, as it
right.
were.
I was mortified when I heard it. Now, Urban Meyer has, we're judging him on a different curve, okay? I mean, he is being compared to the greatest that have coached in the last 30 or 40 years. My criticism of him has really dealt primarily with his handling of the Zach Smith case. If he had just been honest, which he wasn't, I think he would have gotten by fairly well, but he doubled down, he lied, he misled, he got mad, he became angry when the university suspended him, and he never got over it. And, that's one reason why he left. You know, my comments about him in Jacksonville are about something totally different. They're about his handling of the Chris Doyle situation, which I think were abominable. And secondly, do I think he'll be successful there? So, I don't know how to compare and contrast the two. Hugh Freeze and Urban Meyer are really not part of the same conversation.
I appreciate you taking that time to explain that. I think they are.
Okay.
And maybe this will be, we'll continue the conversation moving forward, but I feel like they're all in the same umbrella. The Bobby Petrinos, all of that is personal conduct. And then we can't, you know, we can't put them up as a leading candidate for every job that comes up. And then excuse that. I don't know if that's regional thinking.
Well, Naheem, let me ask you this. I think sometimes, you know, what are we, how are we offering, or how are we coming to conclusions here? If you told me, let's say Iowa, just for the sake of argument, I had to choose between one of the two, I would pick Urban Meyer. I would, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, look past what you know if you're making a choice. And I know both of them. I know Hugh Freeze probably a little bit better than Urban Meyer, although I've been around Urban Meyer a couple of times. And I mean, there are some redeeming qualities. I think he does a good job with his teams. But, you know, I've already talked about what I don't like. Hugh Freeze, yeah, to me, you know, went down a very dark road. He got through it. He dealt with it. And now I think he's back. So, you know, how long is too long? Yeah. How long do you hold something against someone is my question back to you.
Well, it's not for me to decide, obviously, right? But it, no. To me, it's interesting. It's interesting that use Iowa as an example, which is a tragedy. I know that just came to mind, but they're having their own set of troubles right now for various reasons. So, you know, I would encourage their committee to look elsewhere.
Let me bring one more thing up, though. And I just threw that out. I didn't realize I was picking a school that probably should have replaced its entire staff. But, yeah, are we judging someone on what they've done in the past, or are we judging them on how they handled their failures? And that's what bugs me about Urban Meyer. He's never admitted he's ever done anything wrong without having a gun to his head. At least, you know, now would Hugh Freeze, if Hugh Freeze had not been caught, would he have continued carrying on the way he was? Possibly.
There's a lot of tigers and their stripes are still the same, but your point is well taken in terms of contrition, right? But the irony again goes back to that Liberty, you know, a religious school is seen the other way.
Well,
so I guess that's the interesting conversation.
Do we really want to go down that road?
I'm here. You know, maybe I need to take the next exit off of it, but this is where we're at, you know, and I understand where I'm calling, you know, I'm a little fish out of water here, but
I
do appreciate you taking the time.
I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and you take care of yourself. We go from
likewise, California.
We'll talk again. Zach is in Ohio. Hello, Zach.
What's up, Paul? How you doing?
Zach, we're doing great. Thank you.
Well, there's not really a question. I just wanted to know, how are you feeling about those Buckeyes and just the whole Big Ten in general just dominating college basketball right now?
Well, I mean, it's certainly the best league. I don't think we can argue about that. Now, are we determining the college basketball championship by who has the best league and who has the most teams in, or by who wins the tournament?
About who wins the tournament. I'm saying that the Big Ten wins the whole thing.
Well, I am still going to take Gonzaga against the field until proven otherwise, but you're welcome to your Big Ten teams.
I appreciate it, Paul. That's all I wanted to talk
about. And by the way, the game we saw yesterday it wasn't unusual because, I mean, we occasionally, not this year, have gotten Duke North Carolina games, Duke Virginia games, and, you know, really some fantastic basketball games. But I just think it was good to see that a couple of weeks before the tournament. But I'll quote Tim Doyle from our show the other day. He really doesn't think anybody is in Gonzaga's league with the possible exception of Baylor. And I realize once you get into the tournament, a lot of crazy things can happen. I think COVID will make everyone nervous before they make a declarative pick saying there's no way this team can lose because you don't even know if they're going to get there. Heading to a break. We have more to come on our program. We appreciate you being here. Bill Conley will join us in a few minutes. More of your phone calls coming up after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back to the show here on a Monday afternoon. John is in St. Louis. Hey, John, good afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
John, we are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good, Paul. Hey, I was wondering if you had a chance to take a look-see at the ESPN 30 for 30 special they had on. I guess it's been a couple, 3 weeks ago on Al Davis, Oakland, L.A. Raiders story.
Yeah, I have it. I have it recorded. I have not had a chance to see it yet, but I would imagine it was quite fascinating.
Well, I don't know if it's fascinating. I'll just give you my opinion.
Well, please. Save me the trouble if it's not worth watching.
The story and Mr. Davis, okay. Really, the thrust of the story was about how Al Davis was a visionary, okay?
Okay.
And how he had the foresight of, you know, promoting the American Football League and, you know, expanding the ownership ability to move teams out of cities that didn't promote new stadiums, et cetera, et cetera. But the one thing they really didn't talk about was, you know, the bottom line with Al Davis was Al Davis was selfish. He was self-serving. Everything that Al Davis did was for Al Davis. And also the thing that they talked about in there was, the bad boys, the 1970s, and Al Davis propping up, in my opinion, just my opinion, thugs like Jack Tatum and George Atkinson, the antics that those guys played on other teams with illegal hits and et cetera, et cetera. I just thought the whole program was, they really didn't talk about the real Al Davis. And, you know, Al Davis was big on lawyers and taking people to court, and he wasn't a team player. He was an anti-establishment individual when the rest of the owners were really progressive and trying to promote the entire National Football League. Al was all about himself. So I guess I'm on a little bit of a rant.
Well, no, let me say this.
That's what I think about Al Davis.
That's okay, John. I don't.
The other thing is, let me say one more.
Okay.
One more thing quick here, Paul, is, you know something? Those two individuals, they never apologize to Daryl Stingley and his family for that, for what happened to that poor guy on the Boston Patriot, New England Patriots at that time. So, I mean, I was just, I'm just appalled by the way the program glorified Mr. Davis, and I just didn't. I have no respect for Al Davis, quite frankly. Okay,
well, I get that impression, but John, let me explain something about documentaries. This is not a, you know, documentaries are come at you from a very specific point of view. I've been part of a few, and in fact, I'm currently involved in one right now. And, you know, these are not, you know, what we used to call fair and balanced. I haven't seen it. And I, you know, the fact is I've had it for 3 weeks and I haven't watched it may indicate whether I ever do see it. But I think you have to understand, and I don't know, I have no idea who the producer of it was, but these things are usually fairly narrow. Yeah, I remember the Michael Jordan documentary a couple of months ago. We had a call from Sonny Vaccaro the next day, who was very upset about it. He, you know, he was the one that signed Vaccaro to Nike, barely got mentioned in it. That's, you know, it all depends on, you know, who you have access to and whose philosophy is driving the bus.
Very good. Thanks for your comments.
Thank you. Yeah. Al Davis. Let's check in with Steve, who is in Georgia. Hello, Steve.
Hello, sir. I just wanted to thank you for taking my call. I love your show. And I
thank
wanted
you.
To, I'm a New York transplant from down in Georgia. And wanted to, two quick questions. One, you're the one of the most patient personalities on the radio. I got to give you a credit. Listen to your show, and you have the patience of a saint, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you. We appreciate listening to you, and just you're very enlightening.
Steve, thank you. It means a great deal.
And, no, it's absolutely true. And two quick questions. One, I'm a physician, and I'm here in Georgia, deal with a lot of sports and kids. I wanted your thoughts on athletics and protection of the athletes from of physicians. You know, from my point of view, I don't have that insight and the inside knowledge of what goes on behind the scenes in college football and trying to get the kids to play versus their safety. And the other point I wanted to get your opinion on is I know you've mentioned this multiple times, the college playoffs. What's your thought in the future in the next 5 years where we're heading for that? But thank you again for everything.
Steve, thank you. The college playoff part of it, I think we are clearly heading for an 8-team playoff. Gus Malzahn was here the other day. He advocated it now that he is at a different type of program. And I think there's movement. I don't think it will happen quickly. And 2 years ago, it looked like they were on the verge of it. But I think we'll get there at about the time the current contract runs out. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Much appreciated. Let's move along and check out Victor, who is in Georgia. Victor, thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
Real quick, I want to respond to the person earlier who said that the talent gathered around a few teams, and there is no cry when you have professional football players or professional basketball players getting together for one team or another. I'm from Oklahoma. You cannot, and this young man cannot imagine how much pain Oklahoma went through when Kevin Durant decided to leave the Oklahoma City Thunder and join another team. Westbrook deciding to leave. Paul George, these players who their numbers were almost idolized. And you had streets and businesses, people having their entire livelihoods based off of them. And for them to leave the smaller markets, going to larger teams, it just left a hole in people's hearts. It hurt. And there was just real pain and travail that happens when you're in a smaller market and you lose a big-time player, it's not it's indescribable if you're a fan of football, basketball, if you're a diehard fan. So to say that there is no outcry or people talking about when professional basketball players who are well-named or who are professionals get together in one team and they perform and they get together and make super teams, there's nothing against it. There are no one talking against it. That's not true. It's talked about on many of the sports programs that they wish it wouldn't happen because the talent disparity it does lend, especially in professional sports, to the same teams going to the same playoffs, and it's the same old, but in a small market, it hurts the fan base, and it hurts economically also. What is your comment?
Yeah, no, I've lived in a town that lost its star player in the NBA, and it was a huge deal. I fully understand that. Yeah, and when I say a small town, not as small as OKC, but certainly smaller than the Big Ten, and I don't think we think about that. I mean, I think this year, meaning the last 11 months, have opened a lot of our eyes to how dependent so many people are on just the vagaries of life. And I'm not even talking about sports, but, you know, we're talking about the local sandwich shop, the hot dog stand, things that have been, every time I hear, politicians, talk about helping people, the people that have gotten hurt are the ones who can always least afford to get hurt.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I think that's exactly where you were going there, just in a different, in the parlance of sports. We have to go to a break. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. The phone number here is always the same. We have not changed it, and we're not going to. 855-242-7285. Bill Connelly will join us in a few minutes. He's done a deep dive into the upcoming college football season in a rather unique way. He's always cool, and he'll be here in a minute.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It's good to have all of you here. Earlier this afternoon, we had Ross Dellinger on talking about Coach Prime's debut. Bill Connelly joins us now, covers college football for ESPN. Bill, thank you for the time. Great to have you on. I don't want to spend too much time on Coach Prime and what happened over the weekend, but I know you've written about the second college football season. It did catch some of us by surprise over the weekend. How is it going?
I mean, fine, I guess. It is kind of interesting. We've got most of the top FCS teams playing over the next few weeks, or starting their seasons over the next few weeks. We got a full 16-team playoff here in a couple of months. I guess Coach Prime and the SWAC won't be part of that, but it seems like they're going to be providing their own storylines outside of the title race. So, kind of a lot going on here, and I mean, we're used to paying attention to spring football anyway, but this time the teams are a little different and the games mean a little bit more, I guess.
I know you've looked ahead to the next season, and that's the one that we talk about normally with you. I was thumbing through Twitter a minute ago, and I saw a chart on the this was just confined to the SEC, but on the transfer portal, and I mean, that is a busy place to do any. I'm curious. I mean, I know that this was not the intent of asking you, but how many people just get stuck in that portal like the Bermuda Triangle and never find a home?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be super interesting over the next year. I mean, first of all, there's no question that the portal's picking up steam anyway. A lot of guys are finding it. They think they're going to find it to their advantage to weigh their options, and I guess it probably doesn't work out for everybody. But when you combine that with the fact that we've got this big glut of super seniors this next year, that's going to make the scholarship situation a lot more awkward. Freshmen coming in are signing with schools they've never visited. So you do figure everything that's happened over these last couple of years, the transfer portal in general, it was already picking up steam, and it's only going to happen more, especially if or when the NCAA ever actually gets around to letting the waiver, the free waiver for your first time transfer. It's going to be massive, and it's only going to pick up steam, I guess.
Well, Bill, it is never too early to look ahead, and I know you've done that, and we really start doing it as the national championship game ends, but you recently did a fairly comprehensive deep dive, you know, identifying the best teams, the players. Give us the backstory on what you came up with, and something tells me you may not have been overly surprised by the teams at the top.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're, no matter how you go about putting together lists for the fall, you're going to have Alabama up there, you're going to have Clemson up there, Ohio State. I'm really curious about Oklahoma this year. I do think that they my numbers love Oklahoma. They're returning, you know, almost all their offense, good portion of their defense. Nick Bonito is a great pass rusher. They seem to have a lot more well-rounded talent than they did when they were just, you know, when they were making the playoffs with the number one offense and the number 85 defense. So they're kind of that's not a new name by any stretch of the imagination, but they might be a team we need to take a little bit more seriously. And honestly, Iowa State, I'm really, really curious what experience does for them, because they were already really good. I don't know where their ceiling is, how much higher it can be, but they've got just about more talent returning than anybody else in the country. I'm really curious what that means for the fall.
I like how you picked two Big 12 schools there. And by the way, you're right about Oklahoma. They are, we always get a little buzzed on Oklahoma anyway because of their excitement and electricity. But other than those two, the school we hear about here all the time about you better watch out, and it's Georgia. We've heard this movie before. Give us a reason to believe this is the real thing.
Well, we got a sneak peek, basically. You know, at the end of the year, we saw, you know, we've been waiting for the offense now for a while. Will they have, they don't need a top five offense because they've got a top five defense, but they got to have more than they've had. And last four games or so of the year, JT Daniels takes over. Those receivers start to look a little better. The run game looks great. And if they could just get to like a top 15 level on offense, what are they missing, right? I mean, that's, they've got the defense. They obviously lose some guys on defense, but it's kind of like worrying about Nick Saban's offense at this point. I mean, it's going to be top five no matter what. So if that offense that we saw late last year is what we see for most of 2021, I have no idea why they wouldn't be a contender.
Bill, outside of the usual suspects, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Florida, I think I spoke out of turn there, Georgia and Iowa State. Is there anyone else that you think could not come out of nowhere because, there are a lot of really, really great programs, but crack that seemingly impenetrable group at the top?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Well, I think the two most interesting names from a numbers standpoint, I'm not completely buying what my numbers are telling me on either one of these, but Oregon and Miami are both really interesting to me. Oregon, because they've been recruiting really well, best, you know, recruiting team out west right now. They return most, obviously the quarterback situation is still up in the air, but they return most of last year's team with another good recruiting class coming in. It seems like if there is a Pac-12 team that can run the table outside of the trip to Ohio State, I guess, then they could be really interesting. And Miami, I mean, here's the time of year where I talk myself into Miami every year, but another year of De'Aaron King with Rhett Lashley's offense and most of his weapons around him and a good defense again. It does kind of seem like at worst that's a top 15 team, and if they ever have another gear, it might be this year that they show it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put them in Georgia's league, but we've heard a lot about Miami over the years, only to be shattered.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. We saw most of it, what we wanted to see this year. They were a top 15 team until about the last two games. They ran out of steam. They got blown out by North Carolina. You know, De'Aaron King gets hurt in the bowl. But it was mostly there. They still couldn't compete with Clemson, but they were at least at a top 10 to 15 level. Yeah, I'm not fully endorsing this, but it does seem like they've got a lot to offer this year, and De'Aaron King is certainly a good piece to build around if he's healthy.
Bill, when you look at the numbers, I mentioned Florida a minute ago. They've been a big topic on the program already today. What do the numbers tell you about the Gators?
Well, I mean, it's curious about their offense, how, if they can maintain a top five level. It projects them fifth on offense, and it's really hard to imagine Dan Mullen not fielding a really good offense at this point. But that puts a lot of pressure on the defense again. If they're only like 5th to 10th or something, the defense has to come through a little more than it did. I kind of expected more changes on the defensive side of the ball. The coaching staff on defense, I expected a little few more changes than we saw. And so I think that's kind of where the question is. It's basically what it was last year. Their offense should be fine, maybe not as dynamic as it was in 2020. But until the defense can get back to a top 10 or 15 level, they're going to be a step behind Georgia.
Bill, as you now turn the page, one last question on the numbers, because they are predictors. They're not always accurate. But as you look at the ups and downs, I'm curious, anything else that stood out either on the uptick or perhaps even on the downtick that would be noteworthy?
Yeah, my numbers at least had Notre Dame 25th. They trailed off. They got blown out the last two games. My SP Plus did not see that as a 17-point loss to Alabama. On average, it would have been more like about a 35-point loss. So then they lose Ian Book when barely anybody else is losing their quarterback. They've got a lot to replace. So this isn't going to be a 12-0 year for Notre Dame, but I'm curious exactly how far they stumble. If they're still capable of falling to 8-4 or something, or whether they can still grind out a 10-2 year. The 25th for a team that just made the playoff and has made it two of the last 3 years was kind of surprising to me.
You were also not you, but your numbers were not particularly fond of Texas A&M, were they?
Yeah, I think it basically has to do with Kellen Mond leaving. Like, most of the teams around them in the rankings return their starting quarterback, and that's going to be the big story all season. It's so much experience in every conference. And so anybody who loses their quarterback this year, not to say Kellen Mond was irreplaceable by any means, but it's a mystery. So he set the bar just high enough that you can't guarantee the next guy clears it. And if they fall at all this year, it'll probably be because of that. The defense is going to be phenomenal, but the offense has at least a couple of question marks there.
Let me get inside the LSU numbers, because there's a sense in Baton Rouge that Tigers, bad year, but we're back. Not according to your numbers.
Well, I mean, that's they're projected to improve. There's no doubt about it. This is going to be kind of a year where, like, is it a slight rebound? Is it a humongous rebound? Obviously, you know, the quarterback situation with Brennan getting hurt was kind of a mystery. You love what happened to the receiving corps at the end of the year. But there was so much turnover last year. Now there's so much turnover this year. It seems like they have just enough known pieces there to at least assume they're top 25 worthy. But, yeah, beyond that, they have to prove themselves all over again after how far they fell last year, I think.
Bill, it's always interesting. Thank you for coming back. I don't think your Twitter feed will melt down after this conversation, but we're saving that for the next one, so come back soon.
Absolutely. All right, take care.
Great stuff. I like a guy. This is not just like me popping off. This is a guy who does the research, and he's got some metrics, and that's quite interesting. We'll take a break. Get your reaction to that. Still another guest or two on what's already been a pretty busy Monday afternoon. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Great to have you here. And Jamie is in Tennessee here on a late Monday afternoon. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, sir?
We are doing great, Jamie. Thank you.
Well, I talked to you last week, and I've been doing a lot of thinking on your Friday shows. I know we can't do it during football season.
Okay.
But listen, Paul, what would be more epic on Friday on Paul Friday than having Tim Brando and Sheridan on the same day?
Okay, so, on Fridays we tend to lay back a little bit. You're suggesting Tim Brando and Danny Sheridan on the same show at the same time?
Yes, or back to back.
You know what the flaw is or the fly in the ointment with having them on at the same time, don't you?
No, intriguing.
Okay. There wouldn't be enough airtime for both.
I got you. Yeah.
But I say this as I know both of them well, and I have been with both of them before, and it's pretty entertaining to be in a car. And I think we once had to travel about we went from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa to they are both two of the most glib people I've ever met. So that would be entertaining. I mean, those are my favorite type of shows when I don't have to do anything other than say hello and good night.
Well, that would be your laid back Friday.
Yeah, I might just come out here with a cigar and a couple of shot glasses and just kick back.
Yeah. Also, I know how much you love Laura, and we all do, but we have got to get her back here more. She is.
Well, I agree with you on that. I was checking in with her the other day, and she is just right now, unfortunately for us, she's doing the NFL show, which is year-round. But I will keep putting the pressure on her, okay?
Okay, but I think we need to try Danny and Tim just one Friday for a good laugh.
By the way, we're open for suggestions. I mean, we're about to move past. I mean, we're 6 weeks away, but once we get into early spring, we're going to be a little bit more laid back. And any suggestions like that, Danny and Brando the same day would it might be epic. You're right.
It would. Ratings is already good, but they would go off.
Oh, yeah, no, we could always use a ratings boost with Sheridan's not easy to lock down. Brando is a little more collegial when it comes to trying to get him on the show than Sheridan. I don't know what Sheridan does, whether he goes back into that coffin at night or whatever, but he's not the easiest guy to book for the show.
It was good talking to you, Paul.
Thank you.
You be well.
Thanks,
Jamie.
Thank
you for everything you did.
You bet. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're always open for suggestions for guests. That is, we happen to like that. Sharon is up next in Georgia. Hello, Sharon.
Well, hello, Paul. I can't tell you what a thrill it is to talk to you. I have been a fan for so long.
Thank you.
And I may be your oldest fan, but I just wanted to talk to you. A while back, you mentioned the great Southern author, Louis Grizzard, who was a friend of mine and I think one of the great writers that
absolutely
that graced our presence while he was alive. We lost him way too soon. But you mentioned that somebody needed to write about him, and I'm not sure you are aware that a book was written by Peter Stoddard called Louis Grizzard, The Dog That Did Not Hunt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Did you know about?
No, I will find that, Sharon. I mean, I knew it was. I will find it.
It is a terrific book. It was published by Amazon, and I got a copy of it right here in my lap, and it's got Uga right on the front.
Well, I will order it tonight. I mean, I interviewed one of his wives. I know that's a joke in Atlanta about.
Well, there was. There was only four of those,
okay.
but Peter Stoddard lives in Cumming, right up from Athens, and the book is called The Dog, D-A-W-G, That Did Not Hunt.
Well, I will make sure I get that book tonight. Hey, Sharon, thank you for sharing it, and thank you for the extremely kind words. It was a thrill to talk to you as well. We're up against a break. We still have an hour to go on what's been an unusually busy Monday afternoon in late February. We'll take a break. Back with another hour after this.